are a go, Derek Brandeo tells me, for our national hour here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Glad you're along. We're live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. As always, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and yours truly here. I'm going to welcome in Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada, Sportsnet.
Huge game for Bourne's Islanders tonight.
Massive, massive game.
Doesn't make it necessarily watchable between those two teams, but it's a big one.
Seven games on tap.
More than that, isn't there?
Seven, no. Hmm. How many? You did the lineup.
Well, maybe you're right.
Seven.
Okay.
And I'm the one that retired with a concussion. All right, that makes a lot of sense. Let's welcome in Dan Murphy to our show as the Vancouver Canucks are set to host the Montreal Canadiens. And sporting, for those of you that cannot watch him on Zoom, a Grizzlies hat. That's a collector's item, is
That's
it not?
That's a Big Country Reeves original right there.
Well, do you guys know that I before I did Canucks hosting, I hosted one season of Grizzlies basketball.
How'd you do? Were you good?
He got the franchise folded. What do you mean?
Did they really leave because of you?
It wasn't my fault, but it was the early days. Bibby, Dickerson, Sharif, Big Country, Othello, Harrington, Grant Long. Man, the names I could give you. But, yeah, 1 year of Grizzlies basketball.
All right. We got, 13 games to go in the Vancouver Canucks season. They've got a comfortable lead over the Edmonton Oilers, or do we look at the games in hand? What's the feeling out there?
I think it's not comfortable. They're 8 points up. I think they have the tiebreaker, so that makes them, Edmonton's got to clear 9 points. But they do have one game head-to-head, so it could get interesting. But I guess what you're playing for at this point, they're not going to play Edmonton the first round. You're looking at either LA, Vegas, or Nashville, depending on how things break. So I don't think they're too worried about winning the division. Of course, they'd like to. I think it's just more trying to get back to playing solid hockey and getting back on top of their game, because it's been a bit of a lull here since the All-Star break.
You know, it's funny you say that it's been a bit of a lull just going back over their schedule, but, prepping to interview with you in March. They have won the majority of their hockey games, and it seems like maybe squeaking by a little bit more than they would like to. What is the state of their play on the ice these days?
Yeah, when I say that it's been a lull, I mean, the last 20 games are 10-7-3. So if the tough point of your season, you're still playing at a 90-point pace,
That's
pretty good, right? But, the things that have, the offense 5-on-5 has dried up a little bit, and that's not surprising. The team was shooting 13.5% in the first half of the season. That wasn't continue. I think, overall the defensive game has been really good. Since the All-Star break, I think they're allowing the fewest shots per game. Defensively, they've been solid. But, there's some areas that I think that could improve. The power play finally looked good in their last game. It had been really sputtering. Elias Pettersson, his offense had dried up a little bit. So I think those are the kind of things they're trying to focus on. He's still got 82 points this season. But they do have to figure out what the top six is going to look like before the playoffs, because it's been, an ongoing audition of wingers for both, Miller and Besser on that line, and then with Pettersson. I think when they got, Lindholm at the before the deadline, I think they were hoping that would be the guy you could play with Pettersson. That hasn't worked out so far. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had, Lindholm centering Lafferty and Mikheyev, which is what the line is tonight, in their mind when they made that trade. So I still think there's stuff to figure out before the playoffs. Just, makeup of this lineup.
We're talking to Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada and Canucks Hockey on Sportsnet. You mentioned Pettersson, 2 goals and an assist against Buffalo. What is life been like for Pettersson after signing the massive contract in terms of expectations amongst the fan base? Because as Sammy here out east has reminded me, since Willie Nylander signed his massive contract, not quite the same player that he was in the first half of the season. How's it been for Petey?
I mean, I think the fans have been on him a little bit, kind of February on. he scored 14 goals in January. I believe he was the leading goal scorer in the league. So, you know, it's not like he's having a poor season. He's already at 82 points, but you know, we haven't seen recently as many of those games that he takes over, you know, where the offense, you know, has just been, you know, he can change the pace of a game, and that hasn't happened as much. The last game was much better. And I will say this, I think part of it has to do with the fact that they haven't been able to find him consistent wingers. So, you know, the Pettersson we saw in the first half of the season is been gone a little bit here, but I don't think it's the contract. You know, a lot of people say, you know, what about this guy and his personality? And I said, well, if he chose to sign in Vancouver for 8 more years, I think his personality is going to be just fine to play here and accept the criticism because he knows what it's like. So I wouldn't say that the contract has been the reason for the dip in play recently. I think it's just been, you know, one of those lulls in the season.
You know, we do a Leafs Hour earlier, you know, before this one, we end up talking about contracts pretty much 90% of the time, and everyone hates it. I don't know why we do it.
Money,
but let's
money,
try
money.
It in Vancouver and see if they like it. How are things with Filip Hronek, where he's at, what he should be worth? Where's that conversation at these days out west?
Well, he's a restricted free agent, as we know, and now that Pettersson's done, the focus shifts to that. And, you know, he's in line for a massive raise. So I guess the question is, you know, how much can you pay him and how much is he a product of playing with Quinn Hughes?
Right.
I mean, that's the big question, right? Alan Walsh is going to go in and say, here's a 55-point season, 60-point season for defensemen somewhere in there, leading the league in plus minus and primary assists and, you know, on ice, goals for it, even strength. They're going to want a big raise. And the Canucks are going to say, hold on a second. You know, if we paired him on his own pairing, we had to give him a pairing of his own, would he be able to lead it? So that they're going to have to find the sweet spot. Does Hronek like the situation he's in here? And it's not just, you can't just say, you just play him with Quinn Hughes, anybody can do it. Not anybody can do it. You have to skate with him. You have to think the game like him. And I think he's been a really, really good partner for Quinn. You know, I think it's going to land somewhere just north of seven, you know, which is making more than Quinn right now. But of course, the cap's going up. So I think they'll get it done. They paid a first and a second to get this guy. They're not going to let him walk. Mm-hmm. But I think it is going to be a tough negotiation because Al Walsh is not going to want to take a discount for the numbers he's putting up.
Speaking of Quinn Hughes, pretty good body check Tuesday night against Buffalo, and just the sense that his game seems to be strong enough to finish this season off and win a Norris. Your thoughts on Quinn and the strength that he's showing down the stretch here?
I think he's the best player in the Canucks, and it's not particularly close. You know, we've almost become desensitized to the stuff that he does out here on a nightly basis, on a game by game basis. If he has a bad game, they're so rare, it sticks out, right? If there's a game where he's slightly off, you're like, oh, that was a bad night for him. You say it once every month, if that, you know, as you prepare for these games, you get the stat packs and it's like every single game, it's like Quinn Hughes with this assist has joined Bobby Orr and Paul Coffey to do that.
Yeah.
He's with like any of the people he's mentioning for some of these numbers are the best of the best of the best. And Kale McCarr's off in a lot of those as well. He has been excellent. You know, I really, as soon as Tocchet came in last year and said, we need our young guys to lead, we need Pettersson and Hughes to step up. As soon as he said that, something switched in Quinn Hughes. I think, you know, I often think to myself now, he probably thought I'm going to be captain. Like I'm going to take the bull by the horns. And I'm going to make them notice me, and I'm going to be the captain of this team. And he's done it. And like I said, no disrespect to Pettersson or Demko or Miller. I just think that, you know, where Miller's the emotional heartbeat of the team, I think. I just think that the best player in this team is the captain. And this season, he's been fantastic.
So we've talked a little bit about the tentpole guys there who have moved the needle to have this team, you know, favorites to win the division and should win the division here when it's all said and done. We haven't talked to you in a while, and not since the deadline. We were talking before the show, and so I have to ask you, what happened with the Phil Kessel thing at the deadline? Well, why, how did that end up falling through? I never did get a scoop on that.
I mean, I think they sent him to Abbotsford to see what he looked like. I think the plan was to sign him and then have him, like, break glass in case of emergency if they needed some depth scoring. And my guess is that, you know, maybe they didn't like what they saw or didn't see what they expected to see. And Alvin said something to the effect of, you know, we don't think he fits our style of play. And that's why we didn't sign him. So I just think probably when they brought him out for an extended look, they decided in the end, you know, spending that money was not what they intended to do, or there was no path forward for him to play on this team, even if they had a couple of injuries. So that's my guess why that fell through.
You know, a term that we often use in the playoffs to talk about role players or foot soldiers here, and particularly Mikheyev, a guy that we know here out east a lot through his Toronto days. Is it 34 games he went without a goal?
30-some. I can't remember what the – 34, I think.
Yeah.
And you guys know, like, this is a guy that, you know, never finishes on a high percentage of his chances. You know, he's kind of like the next coming of Grabner, with getting breakaways and you know, finishing one out of every 10 kind of thing. But he was really struggling, and the speed wasn't there. I don't know if the confidence in his knee after the surgery was there. But I will say, over the past 3 weeks, and especially into the last game, he's looked way better. And that has to be, you know, just a huge sigh of relief for Rick Tocchet. I mean, they want this guy killing penalties. They need this guy's profile. They need the speed. They really only have a couple of burners on this team. He'd be one, and Lafferty would be another. So I think he went through a crisis of confidence more than anything. He wasn't scoring when he was in the top six. He wasn't scoring in the bottom six. But he's one of those players that has been definitely trending in the right direction.
So the best season by a Canuck here, like, if a guy who's maybe most above expectations, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, he had high expectations, but JT Miller, is Rick Tocchet just kind of like the Miller whisperer, the way he was a Kessel whisperer? Do they have a special connection? He sure got a lot out of him this year.
Yeah, like, you guys might be able to explain it better than me. I think some guys want to be coached.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's one of those players. He wants to be challenged. He wants to be told things. He wants to be taught. He wants to discuss everything. And I think he needed to be coached. He needed like a firm hand, so to speak. And he doesn't care at all if he's held accountable, if he does something stupid. He wants that. So I just think that Tocchet has been the right fit for his personality and his style of play. I think that he wants to win badly, and sometimes in the past, that manifested in, you know, some outbursts that probably he's not, you know, real proud of. But we haven't seen that much this year, and maybe because the team is winning a lot more and he hasn't been as frustrated. But I just think it's been a perfect match of player and coach for a guy that, a guy like Tocchet, who's got a lot of equity with hockey players, right, with the way he played and how hard he played and the style he played. And I think that resonates with a guy like JT.
Murph, just to take you out of the Pacific for a second, is there a lot of talk out west on the season that Winnipeg's having? Because the focus all season long has been pretty much, you know, at least the big ticket items of coming out of Vancouver and Edmonton. But, like, Winnipeg now is a real legitimate contender, in my opinion.
Yeah. And who would have thought that? I mean, at the end of last season, of course, nobody thought the Canucks would be, you know, but maybe challenging for a playoff spot, but not where they are now. And remember how it finished with Winnipeg and Rick Bowness blowing up at his team in the playoffs? Like, who would have thought they'd come back like this and have this type of season? I love Rick. I'm so happy for him. And I don't get a vote for these types of things, but I would probably have Connor Hellebuck in the top three of heart voting for me. When I look at the numbers, and I know it's not a thing we do anymore. I don't even know who the last one was. Was it Carey Price or Jose Theodore? I can't remember. But I think he deserves to be there. His numbers, underlying and counting stats, whatever you want, are so far above any other goaltender. It's crazy. So I think just the fact that you've got him makes him a legitimate threat. A series can win you a cup, and there's none better in the league right now than Hellebuck.
So, you know, in talking about other teams, you know, you wouldn't potentially have to face Winnipeg for a couple of rounds. You could potentially face Vegas, who just did a whole bunch of stuff to get a whole bunch of players. Is that the worst case scenario for the Canucks, or maybe you not believe in what they're selling out there?
I don't know if it'd be worst case. I think the fans, it'd be the sky is falling, why is this happening to us type of thing. But after that start, the first 20 games, I mean, Vegas is 500 team. I know they've had a ton of injuries. They were without Eichel for a month, and Theodore was out, and Petrangelo's been out, and now Stone's out. I think if they were fully healthy, then you'd say why. Mm-hmm. But you know, are they just what they are right now until they get healthy, which has been a 500 team. So I don't think they have that same mystique as they did in years past with the Canucks. Like, the Canucks couldn't beat them. The two teams Vancouver could never beat was Winnipeg and Vegas. But I think the mystique around both those teams has gone a little bit now with this version of the Canucks. So, yeah, listen, on a personal level, I get to go to either LA
or Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't care.
Do you think though that miraculously, if everyone's healthy for game one against Vegas, that there's not going to be this psychological effect on,
Yeah, of course, I think there's going to be a bit of an uh-oh. I mean, look at Vancouver's roster. There's not a lot of guys that have been there in the playoffs. I mean, aside from the bubble, a little slight bubble run there with Pettersson and Hughes and some and Demko, right? I mean, they haven't had a home playoff game since 2015, right?
Wow.
Like that, Alex Burrows was doing a press conference yesterday as a coach for Montreal. And I was thinking, man, the last time they had a home playoff game, he was playing for the Vancouver Canucks. So, because the bubble, of course, is in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, these players, the coaching staff is going to have to do a good job of getting prepared for this. But of course, if Vegas is fully healthy, they're going to go, oh my God, look at this lineup. But also, you could also say, look at the goaltending for the last half of the season hasn't been great. So I get a sense there's a little more mental fortitude with this group that hasn't been there in the past. Maybe that's just the product of winning a lot of games this year.
You know, whatever comes of this season for the Canucks, I know it would be selling it short to say whatever happens is a success, because it's not. I understand expectations have changed from the start of the year, but it's a success in that where they were going to where they are now is you've charted a totally different course. So looking past this season, how are they positioned to continue to be this team and not revert back to the one they were? Like, are they going to re-sign Elias Lindholm? How do you think it looks in the future going forward here?
Well, they've got a lot of UFAs, and most notably, we talked about Hronek. You also have Dakota Joshua. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Teddy Bluger. There are some players, you know, Casey DeSmith, some players they'd probably like to have back that they won't be able to get. I think they're set up still fine for the mere fact that now Pettersson is locked up long term. You've got Quinn Hughes at a ridiculous number for a few more years. You've got Demko for one more year after this one. So the core pieces are still there. Yeah. And I would say that this management group has identified the right players, and that's something the last management group couldn't do. Like, they rarely hit on a trade or an acquisition or free agent signing, rarely. And this one really hasn't missed, I don't think. So I think that they're set up because their core is signed. They've got a functioning NHL defense, which they hadn't had in years. And Soucy is coming back next year. He's got 2 years left. And I think this management group has done, has proven itself of able to find the next guy instead of signing the old guy that was just doing it. So, I think those are the reasons why fans should be, you know, optimistic for next year. Maybe not challenging for President's Trophy, but, you know, I don't think anybody thought they'd be doing that this year either.
About that decor, are you surprised to see OEL having so much success in Florida?
You know what? Maybe a little bit, but yeah. Here's the thing. Like, and I say this about Chris Tanev. When Chris Tanev left here, everybody was like, "Oh, he might be washed," right? And I was like, "I don't know if he's washed, but for the last 6 years, he's been so beat up because he's defended every game, and he doesn't care about taking a hit to make a play. He was retrieving every puck. He was taking every forecheck. He was broken down. They never had the puck for a decade. This team never had the puck. Then he went to Calgary, and it was a good team. And look at him." And now he's, you know, back to being the Chris Tanev. So I think that OEL was dogged a bit. He was not always healthy. And then just the trade that brought him here, like, he was always going to be on his back foot with a fan base. So I'm happy he's having that success because he wasn't really set up for success in this market.
Merv, just one more on the list of UFAs and Lindholm in particular. Is his long-term future as a Canuck completely hinge on the success of the playoffs for him and the team?
Yeah, I would say yes. Tockett alluded to the fact he's battling through something right now, an injury. Not sure what. He said it wasn't serious, so maybe that's why his offensive numbers haven't been that great since the trade. I don't know. Like, again, I don't know. Can they afford him? Can you afford to have JT at $8 million, Pettersson at $11 million, and then another center making $8 million? I don't know. I just don't know if he's going to be a fit financially. That's just my thought right now. But heck, if they go on a long run and you know, they make it to the third round or the playoffs or conference finals, and he's a big part of it, then maybe they make a push to do it. I just think it's going to be really tough to fit him in financially.
Dan, great stuff, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. And go Grizzlies, go.
Go Lawrence Moten.
Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it.
All right, Dan Murphy.
Go tee it up at Shaughnessy.
Canucks hockey on Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. He was fun. He's a good guy.
He is. And also a very good golfer. He's probably golfing. It's probably nice in BC, right? Is it not?
Cold here today, boy.
It is.
Feels like
sucks winter. Today.
There's some dead tulips in my front garden, I can tell you that.
It actually feels the coldest it's been all winter in March.
It's a mindset thing, though. You're not ready for it.
We had a great winter here. Wasn't that bad?
That was awesome.
And then it just kind of got cold at the worst possible time.
Not great.
They don't have to win the Stanley Cup. I don't really think they even have to get to a conference final.
Around, though.
No, not only that, but you got to have enough experience that the group can learn and they, what's the term? Grow thicker skin, you know, through it. Mm-hmm. So you're battle tested the next time you come around again. But they probably should win a round and have a very good second round to have people believe that they're heading in the right direction with this group.
It is funny, like, you know, having seen the Leafs struggle to break through for so long, they win a round and everyone's talking about growth, and now they get deeper in the playoffs and then they get turfed in the next round, and it almost like voided it, right?
Stunted the growth.
Yeah, it was like there was no, you can't just get into that next round and lay down, and this is a team that's going to win their division, unlike with where the Leafs were, so
you need
expectations
rounds.
Will be...
You need... Not a round.
Yeah, you need weeks
you need
of hockey.
A month.
We need to be talking about, you know, the late May. Yeah. We need to be talking about the Leafs hockey or Canucks hockey in late May.
But the Canucks in particular, if they do draw a Nashville or a Los Angeles, they would be heavy favorites. To you know, and that's one responsibility there. But then after that, you're looking at the Oilers or Vegas. And then after that, it's Colorado or Winnipeg. So... You know, it gets real hard real quick out west.
I'm not so sure that Nashville team is a real prize to win
the
division.
Yeah, but I mean, by standards of NHL playoffs, you never really get a dog. There's not too many bad
unless the first role, except the first overall team in the East this year.
Yes, it's going to get
it. They're going to get a dog.
Here's the Caps or the Isles of the
Wings. And I know it's a bit of a snail's pace in the East right now, but you got to have a overall a good season to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like
half
the league makes it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
The Islanders are probably the worst of, if you had to draw Detroit, Washington, or the Islanders got to be the worst draw because Sorokin is the best goalie of the bunch there. You know, they got a bunch of veterans, some good D, Barzal, Horvat, like they could push a team.
Any team that sneaks in as the Panthers proved last year.
Yeah.
Can be dangerous.
We'll have a shot.
They would have had pockets of good hockey during the regular season that they can resort to.
They can also remember the Wings are 2-8-0 in their last 10. And you know.
Yeah. Not to make it about the Leafs and the National Honor. We're just talking with the Predators, and we're talking about how the Leafs are having a tough time with centers. Ryan O'Reilly would have been a good fit.
Ryan O'Reilly, yeah, we had Paul Maurice on yesterday. If you didn't listen to Paul Maurice on our show yesterday, go listen to that interview.
Yes.
But that is one of the things
really
he talks
good.
About is matchups and lineups and trying to...
And benching Rod Brindamore.
Yes.
Who's still mad at him.
Yes. And he didn't bench Rod Brindamore 2 games in a row, did he?
Oh.
Like Sean Couturier?
Let's do game time. Let me get my sheets ready here. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I'm sure Bet365 is a very busy place today, as today is the first day of March Madness.
Yes.
The NCAA men's basketball tournament got underway today, which, to me, it's not a great product. Everyone, it's a really romantic time of the year. Everyone gets really excited about it. There's nonstop basketball and ball all.
It's not a Sportsnet property, is it?
No.
Yeah, it's unwatchable.
It's just, I can't tell you how much worse it is than the pros. These guys can't make a shot. They're turning the ball over. It's not nearly as good, but it's a fun time for everybody. So I'm sure there's a ton of people
who's
visiting Bet365. Yeah, I lit $40 on Fireman, two different pools, so I'm ready to rock. Yeah. One of them, you could win a lot of money, but I won't. Anyways, just thought I'd mention that for my degenerates out there that are hammering on the March Madness. As far as the NHL slate goes tonight, there's a few good games tonight. I mean, the Red Wings and Islanders is a big game.
It's unbettable.
But I don't think it's a good game. It's a big game, but they're both minus 110.
Yes.
They have no idea.
There's the rest of the games. They have a different sheet.
Yes, I said 7, and there's like 11, and you're like, I don't know how many there are.
I printed it. Yeah, but I was...
Okay, for now on, print them all on one page.
Okay.
Because I'm a little messy over here. I'm not a professional host.
Behind the scenes at Real Kipper and Bourne.
You're not a professional. You're extremely professional. But yeah, there's 11 games, and I even wrote that in the lineup. I think that there's 11 games. Yeah, 11 games. But the Islanders, Red Wings, I don't know who the hell is going to win this game. I literally have no lean whatsoever.
What do the experts say?
Red Wings are at home.
Who's favorite?
It's both minus 110.
Minus 110. Even money tonight, either way.
They have no idea. So,
I got the Isles.
What a stunning
development. They're a better team, that's all.
You think they're better?
I do.
Larkin is coming back after, what, missing 8 games?
Yeah, he's coming back tonight, maybe.
He'll help.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, he's a good player.
Pom-pom's out.
The other game I have my eye on is the Rangers and Bruins tonight, which is a great game. Good original six matchup. Awesome jersey battle. Yeah. The Boston Bruins are very heavy favorites, minus 155 on home ice. The Rangers plus 130. As you know, I like to get good teams as big underdogs. Give me the Rangers.
Good pick.
Against the Boston Bruins.
Bruins are fraudulent.
Another good one. A few good games tonight, boys. The Nashville Predators, the red-hot Nashville Predators that Borny doesn't believe in, are in Florida to take on the Panthers. Panthers, huge favorites, as you would imagine. But the Predators have been hot. They've won 3 in a row. They're 8-0-2 in their last 10. They're plus 150. Give me the Predators to upset the Florida Panthers.
Colton Sissons, Tommy Novak,
and
Mark
to shove it in Borny's face, who doesn't believe in the hottest team in the NHL. Give me the Predators. Meow? What kind of sound do they make? I don't know.
I'll give Brunette credit. They play an organized, fast brand of hockey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and?
Well, they have much talent.
They have a great goalie.
They don't have much talent.
They have a great goalie.
Sure.
And so when you can print the shirts of the Nashville Predators Stanley Cup Championship, they can print a shirt that has the sphere on it. They can show the DVD at the sphere.
Yes.
And all as well, they'll all go to the sphere when they win the Stanley Cup.
I like it.
Okay. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right. So I'm not a huge NCAA basketball guy. Okay. I don't really follow it. I entered one pool.
Through darts blind or what?
No, it was a Sportsnet pool we did, I think, I don't know, 2006, 2007.
Okay.
And I have no idea. So my wife's from Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Home of the Gators.
Oh, yeah.
She's a Gator girl.
I've been there.
I pick the Gators to win the championship.
Yeah.
Cash that check.
Cha-ching.
Love it.
Yes. And everybody's like, how did you know?
You're like, oh, you didn't.
I love the way they rotate. Oh, my God.
I love their spacing on the offensive side.
I mean, not
are
to,
they tough under the basket?
Not to discredit you, but that's literally one of the greatest college basketball teams of all time. It was like, it was Joaquin Noah.
Yes.
And what was the other guy on that team? Guy who played Al Horford. Like, they were absolute.
Who doesn't remember the 06 Gators lineup?
Anyways, my cousin went to Florida University. I've been to the Swamp.
Oh, yeah.
I love it down there. It's a great town.
He's really taking ownership of the Gators.
I do. I root for the Gators because of that. Yeah. So, go Gators.
There you go.
Go Iowa.
All right, Clark. When we come back, we'll discuss one of 11 games on tap, including the Flyers at Carolina, and guess who's a healthy scratch again. This is the story that just keeps on giving.
Is it Cam Atkinson?
You'll
have to wait.
Bobby Brink out of
the lineup?
Okay. You'll have to wait till after the break. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Sammy, how far are we away from Blue Jays opening pitch here?
A week today. We will not be here a week today. We have the day off.
We're getting bumped for Major League Baseball.
I mean, I ain't complaining.
The nerve.
And, you know, they talk about the dog days in baseball. It's the dog days in hockey. I'll take one off.
That's it. 3 weeks till playoffs. Well, you know, got to watch the Jays start of the season.
I know we touched on this a little earlier today, but Tom Wilson, in-person hearing.
Yeah.
This one kind of was...
Doofus.
Usually with in-person hearings, there is this massive wave of social media emotion.
No, it's just the Leafs aren't involved in it. So
this one just...
It's not that much.
Well, they're involved.
This one slid right by.
Because again...
This one caught everybody out of left field.
It's the most violent, malice-free play I've ever seen. Like, he just whips his hockey stick at a guy's face and seems indifferent. He's just like, oh, whoops, my bad.
If a Leaf player did this, everybody from every other fan base, throw him in jail! Kick him off the tour, Doug! There'd be no... Suspended? There'd be no... That's all they...
It's your reference.
You've got that.
But no, it's... I mean, I don't know what you thought, Kip. We mentioned it a little bit in the first hour, but like, bad play, dumb play. It's either reckless or as violent or some, but it's not.
Every once in a while, you're like...
Malicious?
You kind of throw your stick off like you're trying to swat a fly.
He just cracked that man's teeth off. That was a... pretty hard swat of a fly.
Sorry, Tom Wilson doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
No, and he's also recently suspended in 21, I think.
I love the guy. I love him. One of my favorite players. I would kill for him in blue and white.
Yeah.
Did that on purpose. He slashed him in the mouth. He brought his stick around and hammered him in the mouth.
I think he tried to whack him. And
tried to swat him away, and it went miserable on him.
Just because he's out of North Toronto Arena, like... He slashed him in the mouth. It was on purpose. He looked at his head, brought his stick around, and slashed him in the mouth on purpose.
It's like after you break a glass in your kitchen or something, and you're like, oh, like the second you let go of it, you're like, oh, that was bad. Yeah. And I know what I did. Like, as soon as he hit him, he's like, oh, I'm getting suspended for that. Like,
oh, my wife's going to kill me.
Yeah, he's like instantly knew he had messed up.
All right.
Five games.
Raise your hand if you're really surprised that Tortorella's scratching Sean Couturier again, because that's...
I suggested it yesterday, did I not?
Winning you're in? For sure. Someone would have gone to him and say, we just named him captain a month ago. So, like, let's not really embarrass ourselves even more that we picked the wrong guy as a captain.
Yeah. I got two thoughts on this. One is that it's you don't change a winning lineup, which is the dumbest policy in sports. It is superstitious. It's like horoscopes. It's like, it's either that, it's superstition, it won, so we're going to stick with it, or it's that you don't think he's one of your best 13 guys. If you think he's one of your best 13 guys, or 12 guys, put him back in. Otherwise, it's superstition.
I don't know if there's ever been a team that has bought into that superstition when it comes to their captain or highest paid player on the team.
Yeah.
Is he not an $8 million player?
Yeah, until 2030.
Oh. So, like...
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Find me an example of that.
Can't. I can't. And a coach who won't defend the action or even discuss the action. This, to me, is a guy, double, triple down, whatever you want to call it, who's just being stubborn. He is picking a fight with hockey, because
he remains the story, right?
Well, you think he likes that?
I think he loves it.
And it's easy to faux defend and say, well, we won last game.
I'm going to come in with the faux defense. If you're going to scratch your captain against the Toronto Maple Leafs and your team's going to come out there and beat them, when a team they hadn't beat in 3 years, right? Was it 9 games in a row the Leafs had beat, or 8 games in a row? And they beat them. Wasn't pretty for a lot of it, but they get by him, and you're still in a playoff spot. It would be inconsistent to me to bring him back. Like, to me, it's if you're preaching accountability or whatever, you got what you wanted out of your team. You got the win.
You wanted. You sent your message. You got the response. No, can you get it 82 times?
I don't know. I feel like if you put him right back in, it's even weirder to me. I don't know. I'm kind of confused by it.
It's the same message. Either you're a better team with him or without him.
They got Ollie Lixell like, in that lineup.
If they believe that they've got the best chance to win tonight with him out of the lineup,
that's a problem.
Seriously wrong with your team.
Well, it's almost accusatory to your general manager and to the management of this guy's under contract for this long. You're almost saying, I can't even use this guy you just gave this money to. I understand that this particular group did not give him the money, if I'm not mistaken, but it's just, it's really embarrassing a guy saying, I can't even use him. He's not better than this young kid.
Even worse than making him a healthy scratch for the second day in a row is doubling down on his refusal to even speak about him. Do you have an updated version of the media asking him about him?
I don't have it, but it was really easy. I'm not talking about Sean. I just did the clip.
Just stick with your decision, okay? At the end of the day, you're the coach. I get that. But just talk about your captain, who's still a very big part of your team, to just swat him like Tom Wilson did Gregor with the stick.
Yeah.
Is just wrong.
And then the next game or down the stretch as they're in this playoff push, you want your captain to stand up in the room and direct the boys, tell everyone, here's what we got to do tonight. And everyone's going, the coach doesn't even think this guy's good enough to play. You know, like, what am I? Yeah, you're fine. It's like, I loved Andrew Ferentz. Remember, he was captain for Edmonton. He was the 7th D at times. It's really hard to lead from a position of not being in the lineup. And I think Ferentz would say the same thing, and I'm sure Couturier would tell you the same thing. Wow. It diminishes your ability to lead.
And they're like, we've sat here over many years now saying that, like, you like Torts and you like parts of him, and he's
great entertainment value.
Great entertainment value, and loves pets, his dogs. But you can't treat the dogs better than your players, can you?
He's Babcock with better PR. That's what he is.
Like, treat them the same.
Yeah. He seems to know.
He doesn't go through guys' phones.
Yeah.
But he scratches guys, and, you know, like, you think back to the Roberto Luongo situation. We had Scott Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Where he scratched him in the outdoor game.
Outdoor game. He had Luongo drove him out on the bench.
Drove him out of there. You think about, you know,
he had
him scratching.
On the PK. I remember that.
And who is it that was going after him today? Dubinsky?
Yeah, Brandon Dubinsky. What did he say?
No love lost there. I just basically...
Did he write you a handwritten note?
Yeah, Dubinsky said, Torts, your tactics are getting old. Instead of scratching and embarrassing your captain and one of your best players, how about you try and tell him I'm giving you 20 minutes tomorrow night no matter what with PP and PK, and go play free and have fun and effing get it done. You know, that's the idea of it's like you're going to play your way through this because we trust and believe in the player you are.
So... TJ Brody from the Toronto Maple Leafs is not the captain, and Sheldon Keefe called his healthy scratch last night a mental break. Is that the term that he used?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least he addressed it, though, right?
A little gentler.
He said mental break, but he also said he's had a tough season for us, and he's trying to find it, and we think he could use a little rest, and that all checks out. That all checks out.
Sheldon didn't turn around and go, I'm not talking about TJ Brody.
No. It's not that big a deal to discuss why you scratch a guy, frankly.
So, does he not know, like, tomorrow the media is going to come back to them, to him, and ask the same question?
Yeah.
Like, eventually, you got to come up with a new answer.
Yeah.
He's trying to be as mean as possible to deter them from coming back. Like, he's trying to make it seem as little of a deal as it is so that they'll stop asking these questions. But it's not... scratching a guy at the bottom of your lineup.
Is he acting like a guy that was thrilled that Sean Couturier was going to be his captain?
No, but he is acting like a guy who's thrilled that they won and he got to look right the other night.
And boy, they shouldn't have won.
No, they did not play great.
Oh,
all right. Sammy, what else you got for us? Blue Jackets, could they attempt to trade Johnny Hockey?
We're now doing Blue Jays talk now.
Oh, yeah. For us. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk. We can talk briefly about the Blue Jays.
Hey, I'm not, you are.
I got some thoughts. Like, yeah,
what did we already do? Who's the guy's name? Isaiah Kiner-Falefa?
He's not great. Okay. Hey, Dalton Varsho having a great spring. Vladdy, as my,
I like that Vogelbach comes up to the plate to a milkshake.
And he, you know, he's a big unit out there. Yeah. I like him too. I just saw this from the Boston Globe. Don't know how much validity to it there is, but just in alluding to the fact that could a new, you know, front office come in there and potentially want to try to trade that contract. Is that an immovable contract?
I don't buy into completely unmovable contracts.
No.
I think there are over 32 teams. There's someone that's going to say, I'll trade you my headache for your headache. And if it happens to be different positional players, they may, obviously it's money in, money out.
Yeah.
But once you're past that, I think there's opportunities to say, okay, this guy, I got to get him out of my room, or
Columbus,
he needs
tried
a break.
To do that, right? They tried to trade Laine for Dubois, or was that headache for headache, or maybe it went the other way, whatever it was, and that didn't work. But yes, you're right. It is possible. But I imagine if a new management comes in, it's tough to get elite talent to Columbus. I imagine the first thing you would do is, like, let's see if a summer off and a fresh start can give this guy, you know, if we can get a 85-point Johnny Gaudreau back again. Probably the best step to having success.
Where your expectations are next year again.
But you got to have NHL players on
your
team.
I know, and you have to entertain, and you're asking these people for season ticket money, and they're not going to want to go there and see a slug.
Yeah.
He's having a putrid season.
Well, you know what? Let me say, I feel like he kind of deserves one. You know, he chose Columbus in the most arbitrary, non-competitive manner. It was like, not even close to his family, which is the original thing. It was not to a team that had a chance to contend. It was almost to just go play out his days.
Anywhere
like sending,
but.
Yeah, sending your old dog to a family farm to run around for his final days, for an 8-year final day contract.
Yeah, he is a, got a lot of dash. Dash 33 last year, dash 22 this year.
The other one, too, is Laine, you just mentioned. And of course, he's out now and won't return, but he's still got a hefty contract here, if I'm not mistaken. 2 more years?
I would.
At 8?
Got a big nut.
That's a big nut.
I was going to say I'd buy low on that guy.
Yeah.
But can you get them to retain?
Yeah, well, that's what it would have to kind of take a little bit. But we'll see if the Rick Nash, when he comes back from World Championship.
He's got a big job to do there, Rick Nash.
He's got a big one to do.
That's a lot of cleaning up.
Hey, go ahead.
Is it Buffalo Sabres not out of it? They got the Oilers tonight. Oh, no? We're not buying that?
No.
They're out of it.
They're done.
All right.
If that's where we're at about reaching it, I think that's as far down as we'll go in the Eastern Conference. But to me, it doesn't seem like they're still in it.
Does not seem viable.
No, absolutely.
Although can get hot too.
I like that trade for Mittelstadt for Bowen.
You liked it, yes. For them, in terms of taking a step. Like, they've played well the last little bit here, but no, too little too late. Unfortunately, they're just playing themselves out of a good draft position. Last year, they missed playoffs by 1 point as well. I think
they make a coaching change.
Have you seen the Casey Mittelstadt quotes about how hard Colorado practices? And how fast, and how he actually sweats at morning skate. Yeah. He's got 2 separate quotes over the last, since he's been in Colorado, that the things he's most impressed about are the pace they play, but the pace they practice. And he goes, I was actually sweating after morning skate, which to me is like the harshest indictment of your former team.
I was actually sweating. I get sweaty putting on my shoulder pads. How do you not sweat at morning skate?
Well, I've heard that Buffalo is a little bit easygoing. And if you miss the playoffs by a point and you got the country club reputation.
When I got traded to the Leafs, I flew to Dallas for my first game. Mm-hmm. And Pat Burns had the guys out there for like 40 minutes. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is a practice. This is not a warm-up morning skate.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how often Sheldon Keefe would go out for morning skate these days, but I bet it's not often. Like, I think it's mostly the guys go out there. The assistants have a few drills if you want to do them. And this point of the
handle
year,
the puck.
Yeah.
Fire a couple in.
Yeah, loosen up and see how your nagging injury everyone has feels. And
Hey.
Did you like the skates?
I like to get out there before anyone else, fresh bucket of pucks and goof around a bit.
Yeah. I don't know. They'd never get rid of them.
No, skates, I think you would skates, have to offer them. You know, people try a new gear, and like sometimes you got to get on the ice to test your ankle or whatever it is. You got to have them.
1,200 points for Anže Kopitar. What a career.
1,200 points, Selke trophies, Stanley Cups.
Are they comfortable?
Oh, yeah.
They're in.
Yeah, they are.
They're not super comfortable. You. I mean, you would need – Minnesota took a big loss last night, right? Like, it's L.A. – it's Minnesota who could have caught L.A., and L.A. handed them a touchdown loss last night, unconverted.
They're missing, like, $14 million on their salary cap.
That stinks.
It's amazing.
Does it get better next year?
No, I think it's this year and next year that are the big holes off of the Parisi Suter buyout.
Yeah.
To me, it's, you know, like pretty remarkable that they've been this competitive for multiple seasons. It's also the sort of the hot dog man meme that we're all looking for the guy who did this. It's
yeah.
Literally the general manager who put himself in this situation. But the fact that they're playing $14 million, that is... Three good players.
Next year, they also do, Kip, eat a $14.7 million dollar hit. And then the following year, it drops down to 1.6.
They hated those guys.
Well, sometimes like, oh I think culturally, you just have to like prune the hedges and let some other guys rise up and take control.
They made
control.
A mistake with buying out Suter.
Yeah, Suter they could have hung on to.
You could have fished somebody in to take them and eat $2 million, $3 million. Defense are hard still.
It's crazy they couldn't find anyone to take Suter's money, given that he went on to have four or more good seasons at $4.5 million, right, for Dallas?
Yeah, he's still playing 70 games this year.
They just wanted him out of the room that badly.
Yeah, and that happens, right? I think that was part of San Jose when they moved on from Thornton and Marleau. It's not that the guys are necessarily bad guys. It's that they just need a fresh start.
They need I think they thought he was a bad guy.
Suter?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well. I do.
Okay, then.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's very possible, too. Sometimes you're like, all right, this guy's just kind of suffocating all the, what do we call it, energy vacuum?
Yes.
Just sucking all the fun out of the room. That does happen.
Ryan Suter is so rich. Like, didn't he sign one of those crazy
before the... He was very mean to me in university, so I don't like him.
They had the same contracts, did they not?
Yeah, they both made...
113?
13-year, $98 million contract that he signed.
13 years, not
Kirk Cousins laughs at their career earnings.
And then, yeah, it's true. But he signed another one right after that with the Stars, right? Where he got a lot of money, too?
$4 million.
Plus he gets the buyout money on top of it? Like...
I think I've told you guys this story before, but I was at Islanders training camp and I played golf with Bill Guerin after the round. We're sitting around. He's telling me my daughter's in horseback riding. My son's in, you know, elite hockey. He's got four kids and all these things. I was like, that's got to be expensive. He's like, well, not to be a dick, but I'm rich. He was talking about at the time he was getting paid by three teams. He was getting paid by St. Louis, San Jose. He was on the Islanders. Like, from buyouts, you're just collecting checks from every direction. This buyout thing's not so bad if you can get another deal.
Wow.
What a great answer.
I know.
You know, we all aspire to be able to answer that.
Yeah. Like, question. You know, sorry, man, but, like, here's reality for me.
It's not happened today or tomorrow for us.
By the way, Ryan Suter, $111 million made in his career.
Not bad.
Man.
Not
bad. Yep, pretty good.
All right. Tampa Bay at San Jose. Is that a cookie night for Kucherov? And
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Point.
And
Tampa can catch Toronto. It is not done.
Quickly, before we go, I'm heading out to Guelph right after the show to watch my beloved Owen Sound Attack go for their 30th victory, which would be their 13th straight year having that. Only the London Knights in the history of the CHL have done that.
Hey,
heading out to Guelph to see him do it tonight.
My favorite
go attack,
OHL
go,
team.
Baby.
And all of that has nothing to do with you.
What do you mean?
He's like an honorary guy.
Oh, buddy, I adore this team. I love them. I always will. Season ticket holder for 15
years. So you've
cheered
them on to this?
Oh, yes. I've been there for 13 of the seasons.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm an honorary coach.
Our thanks to Craig Simpson for joining us at the top of the hour. And who did we have in the first hour?
Simmer.
We had Craig Simpson. We had Dan Murphy in the second hour.
Oh, Dan Murphy.
Yeah. All
right. Lost my train of thought. Very unprofessional of me. Enjoy your night, everybody. We're back tomorrow on Off the Rails Friday with Doug McClain.